You're listening to Real Women Courageous Wisdom, hosted by Women for One truth teller, my friend and author, Kara Bradley. Real Women Courageous Wisdom is a podcast series featuring Women for One truth tellers, everyday women and kindred spirits passionate about sharing their journeys and inspiring others.
Welcome to Real Women Courageous Wisdom. I'm your host, Kara Bradley. Very excited today to have with us Dr. Keisha Ewers. She is going to tell us all about what she does. It is fascinating work, and I know for sure this truth teller is going to knock our socks off. So thank you, Keisha, Dr. Keisha, for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Kara. It's such an honor, and I'm excited to talk to your listeners.
Great. Can you just tell us a little bit about how you came to Women for One as a truth teller and how you started submitting?
Sure. I got to know Kelly, and we went out to dinner because we have common friends. And when we started chatting, you know, this was only supposed to be maybe a 30-minute meet and greet. We just stayed forever because we were like soul sisters from a different mother, right? And so we have a lot of the same background. I did a lot of work in India. I've done, you know, I have a lot of background in Eastern philosophy also, and then have made it into more of an American grounded here in the United States languaging. So we really have had a lot of, I don't know, I just think she's amazing and I love what she's up to.
Yeah, I think so too. And so you started to just submit some of your stories in participating with all the women that come onto the site. In what capacity? How are you joining our community?
So my background is I was in Western medicine for many, many years, and I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis when I'm 51 now, and I was in my really early 30s, like 30 years old when I was diagnosed. I had four little kids, and I was doing a lot of very intensive and ICU type of work in a hospital, and it was just, I just loved my life, but it turns out I got very, very sick. And as what happens to many when they are confronted with some type of dis-ease in the body and then go to Western medicine and you're offered medications that have a lot of toxic side effects, that's what happened with me. And I thought there's got to be a different way to cure this autoimmune disease without cancer treating drugs that are so toxic, right? So I started doing a bunch of research on the internet. We store our medical research on a site called PubMed. So I went on to PubMed looking for all the research, and I found a bunch of articles on yoga and autoimmune disease. So I was a marathon runner at the time, and I thought, oh dear, this is going to be interesting. I've never really tried touching my toes.
That's great.
So I was telling my running partners as I'm running that morning, I'm going to go to a yoga class today. And they were saying, really? And I said, yeah, I'm really worried about being able to do what everyone does. So of course, right there was my ego, right? So I walked into yoga for my first time, and I had this great teacher who announced leaving your ego at the door, not comparing, you know, all the things we know. So since then, I've become a yoga teacher, and, you know, it's this very fun, okay, yes, that was what was happening for me. Mm-hmm. So in that class, that very first class, my yoga teacher used the word Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. And I thought, he said enough that it really piqued my interest as I was in my pose. And so I went home and I put it into the search engine of the time. This is how long ago it was. It was Ask Jeeves.
Oh, wow.
On my dial-up modem.
Oh, yeah.
So I put it in, and Ayurveda came up, and I was so excited because in all of my Western medicine background, there was never a framework that really explained why some people acted in one way to a medication or an intervention, and other people acted in a completely different way. And we used to call it a paradoxical effect, right? And I thought about all my patients in the past that had these weird effects happen to them from, you know, what we tend to do as cookie cutter medicine. And it was this revolutionary blowing my paradigm, right? We're not all the same person. Who knew? And so I thought about the food pyramid. I thought about all these things that just kind of wiped out in my mind that they had any credibility. And I started studying Ayurveda and I started practicing Ayurveda on myself. And within 1 year, my rheumatoid arthritis was gone. Awesome. Gone.
Amazing.
It's never been back in 20 years.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Yes. Yes. And so I thought, okay, I've got to go back to school. So I went back to school. I got a master's degree in Ayurvedic medicine. And then I also learned about functional medicine around at the same time at the end of that. And so I got board certified in functional medicine. And what functional medicine is it's Ayurvedic medicine in English.
Yay.
Right? For the modern American person.
Yes.
So I then combined those two things. And during my process, I discovered I had a lot of held onto anger. And in Ayurvedic medicine, that's what causes autoimmune disease, your undigested emotions, right? Mm. I was sexually abused when I was 10. So I had to go back to that. And I did a lot of deep therapy work with it. And I became a psychotherapist. And a yoga teacher and a meditation teacher, right? All the things that healed me, I wanted to learn about and be able to teach other people. And so I've combined all that into a branch of medicine called functional sexology. And the reason for that, I started the Functional Sexology Institute and the Academy for Integrative Medicine to teach people how to know this stuff. I even have, through the Academy of Integrative Medicine, a health coaching certification program for people that are listening who have always wanted to empower others to heal themselves, but never had the chance to go to medical school, right? And they thought they've missed the boat. So I teach yoga teachers and meditation teachers and nutritional coaches and all of these people that love helping others how to run the lab tests about how your adrenals and your hormones are doing, how to do a stool test so you can tell how that digestion is doing, who's living in there, how to do food sensitivity testing so you can see why you're so inflamed, and then to coach people through that using the things they're good at, like yoga, nutrition, right? All of those.
Yeah.
So it's a really fantastic way of bringing all this together. And one of the things I focused on is libido, because I've literally had thousands of women come to me, sit across from me at my desk and say, my libido's gone to Tahiti and left me behind. And I hear that you prescribe bioidentical hormone replacement. And my friend said that she feels fantastic because of whatever you've been doing with her. And I want some of that. And so I'll say, okay, well, let's do some testing. And then I can see them settle back in their chair and they get relaxed because they think, okay, she's going to give me some of that magic stuff, right? And then I start asking these very little simple questions like, do you like your partner? Oh my gosh, Kara, you would be shocked at how often the Kleenex comes out and the tears start flowing. Because so many times women have become disconnected not only from themselves, but their partner, their caregiving, their overgiving, they're not doing self-care activities. They think that they're broken because either a partner's told them that, or they have watched enough movies to think that they're not having enough sex and they're not in the mood, so something's wrong. And so, you know, they'll say, well, he had an affair 5 years ago, or he embezzled some money from our account because he has a gambling problem, or he's addicted to porn, or, you know, like whatever's happening in the relationship. And relationship dissatisfaction is actually the number one barrier to libido for women.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Number one.
Without any pills and without any testing, you know, one simple question like that opens up Pandora's box.
A second question that I ask is, have you ever had a satisfying sex drive? And I get probably 30-40% of women say no. And I say, now you realize that estrogen and progesterone are not going to do that, right? If you haven't had it before, then this isn't going to magically grow it, right? So why do you think you don't have never had a good libido? And then again, the tears. I've never told anybody this, but I was sexually abused when I was 5 years old by my cousin, you know, so this stuff will start to come out. And so this is what led me back to get my doctorate in sexology. It was because I listened to these stories for so many years of women that had never shared this stuff. They'd never been asked. They hadn't even brought it into their own conscious minds. Wow. And I did a study called the held onto trauma. So it's held onto unresolved trauma. It's called the HURT study. Mm-hmm. And out of it came this model I call the HURT model, healing unresolved trauma. And what it is I found it's the root to so many diseases, right? That's where my autoimmunity came from. I actually got breast cancer before all of this was said and done. And it was right over my left breast, right? Right where my heart was. And so this is the key, is really getting into what are the root issues. Some of them will be emotional, which not one pill will solve, including an antidepressant. That just masks your upset, right? Some of them will be mental, because some women are so disconnected from their bodies, they don't have a good body image issue, or they have thoughts, automatic negative thoughts that are running through, or they're so distracted. I have a project due, you know, the kids' homework's not done, I've got to gas the car up tomorrow, how am I going to get all this done? They can't have an orgasm when you're having that, right? They just don't go together. What's in your head goes to your bed. So
your head goes to your bed. That's very good.
So that's the mental root problem. Physical root problem can actually be a hormonal disruption, but those hormones have taken a dive for a reason, and it's not always age-related. Those adrenal glands, if you've been under chronic stress for a long time, they will suck your hormones dry. And so adrenal function becomes number one, which is why I teach people how to do that kind of testing.
Wow.
And if you're on medications like a serotonin reuptake inhibitor antidepressant, that will actually, number one side effect is low libido. So surgeries, chemotherapy, all these things affect libido. Thyroid problems. And then there's the spiritual root cause. Were you raised in a sex-positive family, right, that talked about sex in a healthy way? Were you raised in a religion that said desire is a sin, right? Don't have sex until you're married. Then you get married, you've got the Holy Grail, and you don't know how to turn it on. No one ever turned the faucet, right? It's stuck. So it's a really interesting thing that happens with us. And if you're not aware of it, I call this your libido story. And I have a 7-week webinar program that goes into this in depth, which actually starts in about 2 weeks again. And that is just so illuminating for so many people. I have a workbook they work through, and they get to really see what their libido map experiences were that have contributed to their libido story of where they are today. But all that transfers to your whole life vitality. So in Ayurvedic medicine, we call that ojas. It's your life force.
Yes.
And we don't have an English word to match that. And so I use the word libido. I think of it like a little indicator light on the dashboard of your car. And you know, if your gas tank says you don't have much gas left, you're not going to put the pedal down and try and go faster and longer and expect to get anywhere. You know your car will break down on the side of the road. But with us, we have an indicator light that goes off. Libido's low. We're tired. We're depressed. We're moody. We're irritable. We push on the gas harder and expect to go further, right?
Yeah.
And we break down on the side of the road. So for me, libido becomes a reflection of whole life energy.
Mm.
And I want women to really pay attention to, where are they blocked? Where is your energy blocked? Is it emotional? Is it in the heart? Is it mental, in the mind? Is it in your body? Is it in your spirit? Or is it part of your story? So all of this goes together, and it's obviously I'm very passionate about, because I want women to be living to their fullest potential and totally alive and passionate about their lives and be full of desire for what they want.
Yeah. Amen. That's all I have to say. I'm riveted, and I'm sure that there are others that are just riveted. It's so refreshing, because what's wonderful about you is that you have both the Western and the Eastern, and have obviously spent a lot of time in your own self-study, in your own body as laboratory, to then be able to offer this incredible information to women. So thank you for that. Thank you for doing all of that. I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
It is such an honor and a blessing for me, and that's why I know I was put here, right? It's my dharma. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I've never heard, this is really fascinating for me, is because I am a yoga teacher as well, a meditation instructor, and talk about our prana, our life force, this energy always moving through us. I never made the connection to libido, which is really brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a lot of times I call it spiritual bypass. When we get into a spiritual practice, there's an encouragement in certain traditions to be celibate and to channel that energy in other directions, right? And I have studied Tantra for years with a guru from India, and I still currently every week, you know, I study with him. And one of the things Tantra teaches, and everyone thinks it's sexual, Tantra is not sexual. It's a spiritual path, and it's all about really understanding that there's nothing good and nothing bad, that all is one, there's not duality, and it's all part of God. And so tantrics learned thousands of years ago as a response against the caste system in India, right? This caste system that says there's the untouchables, and then there are the Brahmins, and there are divisions, right? And polarity between these. Mm-hmm. Well, tantric was practice was a response against that, that said, no, it's all God, right? Sex is of God. And the word desire is Latin that means from the stars. So when we cut our head from our body off, we're actually taking away something that is so beautiful and so sacred, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I don't say don't abstain from sex if you're on a spiritual path at all. But what I do say is the people that are on that path have the energy to rechannel. People that are burned out don't even have that energy to begin with. So I'm all about helping you really regenerate your ojas so that you can make a choice about how you're going to use it. Maybe your desire that you would have that is sexual, you want to channel towards your grandchildren or writing a book or starting a nonprofit or, right, being the best mom you can be. Whatever it is, you need to have the energy for that, and you need to be able to have the desire and the passion around it. So it's just having that energy present.
Yes, and it's all interconnected. The emotions, the belief system, you know, the physical experience, the trauma. It's you know, sometimes when I teach a yoga class, I'll say to my students, you know, if we really knew everything that was going on while we're practicing yoga, it might just blow our mind. I mean, how many systems are touched, how things are starting to unravel and unfold and release, and you know, we have no idea.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah. And that's exactly that, the awareness and bringing your awareness to what is going on and being able to follow that energy and your digestion and where your nervous system is, it gives you the power and the freedom to be able to stay in that part of your nervous system that we call the parasympathetic, which is your feed and breathe system or your rest and digest, right? And if you're in the sympathetic nervous system in that stress place all the time, and the only place you reach parasympathetic is on your yoga mat, and you don't integrate what you get from that, then your adrenal glands always think you're a zebra being chased by a lion and you're the next meal, right? Yes. And if you're a zebra being chased by a lion and you're the next meal, your body knows it's not safe to stop and poop or have sex. So you'll have constipation or diarrhea, and you're not going to be able to conceive a baby, so infertility happens, and you're not going to have any libido. So the body's wise. It knows, right?
Yes.
And of course, it all starts right here between the ears.
Yes. Wow. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a couple questions, because I'm sure that there are listeners out there saying, all right, well, what's my first step? What do I do? I don't live near you, Dr. Keisha. What do I do?
Well, if you go on functionalsexology.com, okay, functionalsexology.com, that's my website that has that 7-week webinar. And we did the free introductory part of it on the 1st of March. And the first week one is March 15th. And so if you sign up for that on that email list, we actually send you the replay of the libido solution. And then I go through this in such depth because you just can't in an hour or 20 minutes or a 15-minute medical appointment, right?
Right.
It's a great webinar series. And then if you really are interested in all of this on the Academy for Integrative Medicine, that's actually another site that does the health coaching certification program. And it's amazing. And there's a nice tribe of people in both of these communities of women that are opening up and learning this and supporting one another. So it's really fantastic.
That's great. Great. And could you just repeat those two questions that you ask your patients?
Do you like your partner? I ask a lot more of these questions, but do you like your partner? Have you ever had a sex drive that you've been satisfied with?
Okay.
Right. So what that does, it gives me relationship satisfaction, right, which is number one barrier. And it gives me whether or not they have acquired low libido or innate low libido. Innate low libido usually comes from trauma in the past. Acquired usually means that they've burned themselves out, they're a zebra being chased by a lion, and we can get it back in both of those situations, but it determines which direction I'm going to go, therapy or medical.
Got it. Interesting. Wow. Well, we could talk forever. You are a wealth of information and a delight to talk to. I'm really inspired by everything you've said. I'm going to sit with some of these questions and check out your work a little bit more deeply, because it's Eastern meets Western, and the topics are just relevant for probably everyone listening. So thank you so much, Dr. Keisha. We really appreciate you being a part of the Women for One community and for being a truth teller and for just doing what you do every day.
Oh, thank you so much, Kara. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Women for One's podcast series, Real Women, Courageous Wisdom. If you like what you just heard, we hope you will subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and leave a review. If you're interested in becoming a Women for One truth teller, visit womenforone.com to learn more. For more information about our host, Kara Bradley, visit her site, karabradley.net. Join us next time for another enlightening conversation with powerful everyday women.